Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I drew a blank there for a minute, but I believe this is the Tuesday edition of Sports. You know, I'm the Jack with ESPN, the man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, I'm going to head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three. And I thought you were going to say you forgot which podcast you were hosting.
No. I can always remember the podcast, so I'm okay there. I just, you know, I have issues with the day from time to time, so you know that throws me off a little bit. But oh, all right. So here we are, Dan. We are on the precipice of Game One of the World Series. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, except I wish it was actually on at 8 o'clock, so that 8:30, so that I can listen to you complain about only being able to watch an inning. I wish it was on that late, because by the time I finally get my daughter wound down and asleep, it's like 10 sometimes. So, you know, it all depends on if she took a nap in the car ride, I don't know. So, you know, the saving grace is I can minimize the game or watch it on my phone while I read to her. So, looks like I'll most likely get to see the majority of the games, but a lot of it will be in a quiet mode. I might have to pull up some Bluetooth headset.
So, yeah, hopefully, you know, if they start on time, you know, I'll be able to watch a decent amount of it, but that's, you know, always a really big if with, you know, with these things. So I'll have to see if, you know, maybe I can catch a break and, you know, land something somewhere to help me out. But I'm not super positive that is going to happen. So, you know, we will see how that goes.
Well, you know, one thing is I definitely, you know, each morning watch the condensed game, so I can get everything going, whatever I did miss, you know, bat flips, things like that. Now, you know, speaking, you know, we kind of touched on it yesterday, you know, the bad sports, the unwritten rules kind of thing. We've got two significantly younger teams playing, more or less, anchored by two veteran pitchers, Charlie Morton and Clayton Kershaw. Now, these two don't really seem to have been caught up in any of that. I wouldn't say there's heightened tension between these two teams, and this maybe was Dodgers versus the Astros, but do you see any unwritten rules, bachelors, you know, self pitcher celebrating too much on a third, you know, a strikeout at the end of the, whatever it is. Do you anticipate any drama between these two teams, or do you think they're all pretty on the same level?
No, I think in this case, they'll be okay. You know, neither guy kind of seems like the,
well, you know, and I guess it's,
you know, the fist pump and jump up and down kind of guy, does he?
No, and I guess I let it, of course, they're being anchored by Charlie Morton, Kershaw. But I guess the root of the problem sometimes can be the manager. So, and I don't really have that impression from Kevin Cash or Dave Roberts, where I think they've fundamentally absorbed the game for today and, you know, don't get that upset about it. You know, and, you know, that was something we had talked about before. You know, one of the hardest parts about baseball is it's, when you think about it, almost the most disappointing sport to your ego, because you have to learn to get over it really quickly. And I forget who it was. They said that sometimes it's not easy for some people to get over, but, you know, because the chance to redeem yourself is every 9 times, where, you know, NBA is kind of a disappointing sport too, because think about it, a guy might only shoot 30%, you know, make 30% of his shot, but you know, you might miss 5-6 in a row, sit for 2 minutes, come back in the second half, and then, you know, hit seven in a row, make up. You've kind of got that balance. Do you think that plays into it, and the fact that Roberts and Cash seem to be kind of, I don't want to say, you know, well, new school coaches, they're accepting. And you don't expect them to, you know, be pulling the, got to hit the next batter because a home run was hit to you.
Well, you know, Cash did kind of have that little incident with it. I think it was the Yankees. Remember when he was like, you know, I've got, I don't know how he worded it, but basically said he had a bunch of guys in the bullpen who throw 95. So that was when Aroldis Chapman buzzed Broussard. So, you know, I don't see anything happening here because, you know, Roberts is a calmer managerial type of personality. And, you know, Cash normally is, you know, and these teams, the most part, you would say they play the game the right way, you know, to kind of use that term. So I don't see or think there will be any issues, but, you know, it is the World Series, so I guess it is, you know, always possible that somebody will take exception to something and, you know, we'll get some kind of chatter or something going on with whatever, you know, ever teams are there. But I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. But then again, you know, what the hell do I know, right? It's always a possibility.
Yeah, it is. But I guess, you know, I mean, I'm obviously not asking you to predict if we're going to have any of these issues. But I guess I did. Essentially, yeah, I did. But, you know, kind of coming from all angles of it, you know, the manager, you know, the veteran staff, and then the young staff, you know, I guess I'm just foreseeing a good baseball series. Is that kind of what you're seeing? Because I feel like while the Dodgers do get their home runs, that both of these teams aren't afraid to play baseball. And, you know, swinging for the fences might be overshadowed by the fact that there's a guy on first or second that needs to be pushed over, you know, because they shifted. You know, so I've seen a lot of that kind of coming out more so than I had in the past where, you know, a lot of the teams just aiming for the fences, regardless if there's one guy on or base loaded. We're not trying to get runs. We're just trying to hit, you know, home runs. So.
I like the matchup, and I do think we have an opportunity for a, you know, a really good, you know, really kind of classic World Series. You know, I think the only fear that I have about that or thing that may kind of throw a wrench into it, you know, is there's a lot of young players involved in this. And, you know, you always got to worry if maybe the stage gets too big. You know, because there will actually be fans. This is actually the first time Tampa Bay is going to play in front of any fans this year. And I know the joke is even when there are fans, there aren't fans in Tampa Bay. Yeah, we get it. We ban them all the time. So we understand the joke. So, you look at it. I mean, like the Dodgers obviously have the veteran lineup. You know, I mean, with the exception of, you know, a guy like Will Smith, I think pretty much everybody else, they've gotten their lineup as a veteran player. You know, Tampa Bay on the other side, of course, you know, they're running out a lot of younger guys, you know, that have never, you know, even been in a real serious playoff situation, let alone a World Series. So I think a lot will be how, you know, they adapt to the situation, you know, and if, you know, and I mean, in some cases, it's really good that you're young, you know, because, you know, the term is, well, they're young and stupid, so they don't really realize the platform they're on until it's too late. You know, so they might not realize it until, you know, they've won the World Series that it was, you know, what was going on. You know, in other cases, it catches up with them early, and it's kind of like, oh, wait, crap, look at where we are. So I think that's going to be the big issue. And I pulled up their lineup tonight, and here's what they're starting off with against Kershaw. Diaz is leading off at first. We got Brandon Lau batting second at second. Arozarena, who's been their playoff hero so far, hits third. He's DHing tonight. Renfro's the cleanup man in right field. Margot hits fifth in left. Wendell is sixth at third base. Adames is seventh at short. Kiermaier is eighth in center field. And then Zunino is ninth doing the catching. You know, when you look at that lineup, I think maybe the only guy who had been to the playoffs before may have been Kiermaier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Tampa, I don't know if Diaz was there long enough to get in any of the games with them. So there's not a lot of, you know, deep playoff experience compared to, you know, when you pull the Dodgers lineup here. We got Betts leading off and right. Seager hits second at short. Turner's playing third and batting third. Muncy's the cleanup guy at first. Smith is doing the DH tonight. He's hitting fifth. Bellinger's sixth in center. Taylor's seventh at second. Peterson's eighth in left. And Barnes is ninth in doing the catching. So that's the experience discrepancy is huge. You know, will it play a factor? I don't know. You know, maybe. You know, who knows? But, you know, if you're, you know, like that or you're a better, you know, the better seem to love the Dodgers. They're a really big favorite. You know, then obviously it's Kershaw for the Dodgers against Glasnow for the Rays. So I think it just kind of depends on, you know, what, you know, what you like. What do they have here? It looks like the Dodgers are a favorite to win by a run and a half. And then the over-under for scoring in the game is they'll be 7.5 runs. So, I honestly think the Rays could keep it close, and I would assume it'll be a low-scoring game, but, you know, don't listen to me because I don't know jack squat about gambling, and I don't want you to lose your money off of something I said. But what do you think? I mean, what do you, you know, how do you look at the experience factor, and what do you think of the line? Where are you putting your money tonight?
I mean, I'm going with the Dodgers. You know, I had a couple of friends on Facebook in groups or whatever, kind of going back and forth, and you know, there's a lot of them who are, you know, 4-2. I'm still going with the Dodgers. I'm struggling because I don't think it'll be a sweep at all. But I also kind of, I don't know. I think it's going to go 7 games. You know, but like
yeah, you know, I would
probably inexperienced. The one thing I had to ask you is, do you think it's intimidating to some of these Rays because you're looking at multiple MVPs on this Dodger team?
Yeah.
You know, Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young, not to mention, but Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts. Did Bellinger win? No, I can't remember.
Yeah, last year.
Was it Bellinger? Yeah, and then Seager, you know, Rookie of the Year. You've got so many, you know, kind of big accolades with this team that it is, it can be a little intimidating.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, to me, that's kind of the big question is how do they, you know, how do they handle that? Then, I mean, so, you know, so far it hasn't been an issue. You know, I mean, they got by, you know, what turned out to be a much tougher Astro team than I think anybody, you know, anybody thought they were going to be, you know, under 500 for the you know, comical regular season, and then they get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're the Astros. So, you know, just kind of one of those odd things. But they're obviously a huge underdog, and you know they'll be a lot of people rooting for them just because of that. So, you know, because obviously, you know, it's the Cinderella story, so to speak, and you know, but so you're gonna pick the Dodgers to win, and how many games you got this thing going? You think we'll see seven?
Oh
wow! Okay. You know, that would be nice. You know, hopefully as long as, you know, we get a good series, that's what that's what's important. So
yeah, and I mean if it goes long then I'll be up every night.
So, well, you'll get a couple breaks because, you know, we have some days off here, so.
How did the schedule end up going? Is it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, Saturday, Sunday?
No, it's the 2-3-2, like it would be if they were traveling.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
So.
Well, that works out even better because I'm going to get my hair cut Thursday night.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it works out a little better for me because at least I get both the Friday and the Saturday game. I can
yeah.
Sit down and watch all of it. I won't have to, you know, duck away early. So, you know, that will be nice. But yeah, I was kind of curious, and I saw a couple people kind of. I wouldn't say a big deal, but sort of a deal out of this. You know, for whatever reason, the Dodgers have yet to announce their Game 2 starter. Now, obviously, we know it's Clayton Kershaw tonight, and then they're going to come back with Walker Buehler on Friday. But, you know, for game three, but there were a lot of people who kind of paid attention to the fact that the Dodgers haven't announced anybody. You know, I guess my question, Dan, was, well, why, after the performance he just put on, why isn't it Julio Urias, considering he went three innings and he's had multiple days off now? I don't know why the hell they just wouldn't plug him in there. You know, do you think this is more of a, I guess what you would call a BS strategy play, not announcing the guy and, you know, cloak and dagger, we're going to keep it secret? Or do you possibly think they're really unsure with the way, with the exception of Kershaw and Buehler, with the way the rest of those guys have pitched?
Well, not even the rest of them. I mean, are you 100% comfortable with throwing Kershaw out there, do you know that he's going to perform the way you want him to? You know, and that's kind of what my thing is how long are you going to have him? Is he going to go 6-7 innings where you could go to the normal bullpen stint? Or is something going to happen tonight and you got to pull him early? You know, be it he gets roughed up or, you know, out on the mound physically or, you know, attacked by the team. So I think that all determines. I think it's set in motion that game three is Walker Buehler. But, you know, game two is all dependent on tonight. And I think maybe them, you know, the Dodgers not wanting to lock themselves into something too soon.
Yeah, I'm actually a little more curious on, you know, if they're just kind of maybe, surprised or however you kind of want to look at it with the way some of it is when. Then I was trying to pull up their stats here, but for some reason my browser stops at the Diamondback and I can't sort it to the to the Dodgers. So that kind of screws me up here, but we'll see how that goes. But you know, I just thought it was, you know, again, I'm not sure, you know, what they're doing or how they're kind of shuffling it, but you know, you go through their things, and you know, like I mentioned, Boreas, he's had 4 appearances in the postseason, only 16 innings, so he hasn't thrown a lot of innings. He's actually won every game he's appeared in, but only one of them has been a start. But his ERA is .056. So, you know, to me, that would be kind of a natural plug-in for game three, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and I mean, only if he can only give you 4 innings, you could come back. You know, you could piggyback with like Dustin May, who's also had a solid postseason. You know, he's got a 2.35 ERA. He's appeared in 5 games, but he hasn't logged any innings. Just 7 2/3. So I was just more surprised that there wasn't an announcement, and I just thought maybe you thought they were trying to be, you know, they were trying to be funny about it.
No, I don't think the Dodgers are trying to be pull any moves on anybody or trying to be the smartest man in the room. I think it's just a matter of how today plays out. You know, if you kind of go into trouble and you know, it's so hard because there's 7 games. You can't win them all, but you need to win them all, basically, to advance, right?
Yeah.
So when you kind of put it in that sense, they have to win tonight. I think it's a must. You know, they came back being down and beat the Braves, but I think if you're the Dodgers, you don't want to get put in that position again. So, you know, does Clayton Kershaw's back hold up good tonight? We hope so, you know. Depend, you know, is it going to be watched from inning to inning? The possibility that he might get pulled despite, you know, going 4 innings and giving up 1 hit, you know, because he's got a minor ping or sting or something in the back. You know, you never know. So I think it's kind of wise for them to just take a step back and then, you know, let's see how this tonight plays out and then go from there. You know, because the other part is you want Arias available, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you want to, you know, have him available to you, but, you know, you got to think, I mean, if they were to lose tonight, and you already know Buehler isn't going to pitch till game 3, isn't he your best option to start? To, you know, because then you almost kind of stumble in, well, you know, we don't want to get down 2 games to none, so you really want to win game 2. So, you know, why why putz around with these, you know, these BS bullpen games that we've been getting? And I get it earlier, you know, you're playing every day. There's no days off. Teams are going to have to do this kind of stuff. You know, but I mean, why, you know, why run a, you know, a Tony Goslin out there who, you know, he's made a start, but he's had some issues. You know, or do you think it's possible they turn to Alex, the veteran guy like Alex Wood? You know, even though he wouldn't give them any innings, my bet is he could probably only last three or four. Do you think maybe they go that route just because he's more of a veteran and, you know, or what, you know, what does their sabermetric computer tell them?
Go with the veteran? I don't know.
You know, because, you know, obviously, you know, they have a ton of really good pitching. So, yeah, it was just, you know, to me it's just more baffling than anything. Like, I don't think they're hiding anything, and, you know, it's nothing like that. I mean, you know, technically the Rays haven't announced the starter for Game 3, but, you know, you'd probably put money on it that it's Charlie Morton. You know, unless they're up 2-0, they may give Morton an extra day, you know, and then they can shuffle in their bullpen game. But, you know, that's their game. That's what they do. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, kind of odd that the, you know, if the Dodgers don't know who their, you know, who their game two starter is it just possible they have too many guys to pick from?
That's a possibility.
So, but yeah, that was, you know, that was just kind of like, you know, the one, I don't know, fleeting question or, you know, however, you know, it worked out. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of, you know, kind of weird that, you know, kind of weird that, well, we don't have a game two starter. We're not going to start anybody. So where's the opener, Dan? Damn it, where's the opener when we need him? Oh.
Dodgers don't have one.
Yeah, that's just terrible. But well, since, you know, you're going with the Dodgers and you're going with 7 games, you know, the big question becomes who ends up being your MVP?
That's rough. I want to go with Kershaw or Kershaw.
Was that a combination of two guys?
Yeah, it's a combination of himself. You know, I think, I don't know, this one's hard. It's very difficult because it's obviously going to be a number of different people. You know, if Arias keeps up what he's doing, I think he's got the potential to be it. But you've got to imagine one of the position players might pick it up. I don't, you know, I'm at a huge loss for this one, to be honest with you.
Well, here, maybe this will help you. They conducted a poll on MLB.com. They had 71, I'm guessing it's writers' vote. Mookie Betts was the predominant winner. He actually got 40 of the 71 votes. Cody Bellinger got 6. Then it was Corey Seager, Clayton Kershaw, and Charlie Morton with 4. Randy Arozarena got 3. Justin Turner got 2. And then Walker Buehler, Will Smith, Julio Urias, Tyler Glasnow, Brandon Lau, Willie Adames, Manuel Margot, and Nick Anderson all picked up a vote. So there you go. So you have Kershaw winning it, though? You're in that market?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Kershaw. But you know what that means.
Oh. That means he's going to get hurt tonight and not be able to pitch the rest of the series? Oh.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
So, yeah, well, it always is, you know. So... you know, that's just how those, you know, how those ghost thing, you know, things go. You know, I mean, if, you know, if I had to pick, you know, I would probably pick somebody that they, you know, didn't even give a vote to. I want to see Kiki win the World Series MVP. That's who I want to see win it. So, you know.
Yeah, I would like to see him win that too.
You know, of course, the tough part with, you know, Kiki is being, you know, that he's just kind of a part-time guy. You never know when he's really going to play. But I'm still rooting for him to win the World Series, or the MVP, because that's how I am. So. You know. Oh. What is, I saw free tacos and I had to click on it because I assume we get a what do we get free tacos for if something happens? Do you know yet? Not to steal a base. Yeah, you got to steal a base to get a taco. Not that it does me any good because I really shouldn't be eating tacos with my lifestyle change. But if it's free, I may have to consider going to get that. And I did see some. You know, some healthy options on the Taco Bell menu, so I could buy that as well and counteract the fact that I didn't, you know, I had a free taco. So, you know, that's a good strategy, right? That works for you?
Yeah, that's a good strategy. You know, oddly, I think 15 years ago, when I told them that they were doing this, my wife would have been to Taco Bell the next day, but she's never gone.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to, I think I went the very first year they did it, but I don't think I've been since. You know, the humorous thing is there's a Taco Bell literally walking distance from where I live. It's just not something I eat.
Well, that and there's a time frame. Like, I think it was only between like 4 and 6 or 2:30 and 5.
Oh,
you know, some kind of weird time frame. Not weird time frame, but. You know, I mean, it does make sense, you know, business-wise, because then you're better off to able to track it, you know, track the money, the numbers, when it's,
yeah.
You know, coordinated within a two-hour time. You can, you know, go by receipts and whatnot. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they could do a better job with it. And, you know, the other side of it is, you know, maybe Doritos went cheap on them because it's usually the Doritos Loco Taco.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's be honest, though, Big Jack, you know, one taco, aren't they like 50 cents there? Like, give them two.
Oh, I don't even know. I haven't been there so long I couldn't tell you. Oh. You know, but, you know, like I said, it's one of those things, you know, when I wanted to get something quick that wasn't really even a kind of an option to me. So, but you know, we'll see. Maybe this year it will be. Maybe that'll be like my treat or something for a day, and I can go get a free taco. So, but I did find it kind of funny. You know, like in every World Series, you know, somebody has to sit down and do a position by position analysis of everything, you know, and it's kind of weird because when you look at the lineup 1 through 9 or what, well, yeah, because technically there's a DH, so it's 1 through 9, you know, I think you pretty much give the Dodgers the advantage at every position except second base, don't you? You know, where they're kind of in flux and play multiple guys. But can you think of a position where the you know, you would pick up the Rays guy over the Dodgers guy?
Second base.
Yeah, besides that. I mean, if they're, you know, not counting pitching, because I think pitching is a whole different story. You know, the Rays may actually have the better pitching staff. I would think they have the better bullpen. I don't know if I would go so far as saying they have the better starting rotation, but I think they can compete, you know, depending on which versions of Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler you get, because if Buehler's going to walk, five or six guys. He's not really going to give you much, you know, many innings. So, it's not like the Rays have a bad pitching staff. I mean, you're going to get Glasnow, Snell, Morton, and then, you know, with the days off, they may just go with those three and continue to work around that bullpen. So, you know, because I remember Glasnow started one playoff game on just 2 days rest. So you would think for a World Series, he'd be willing to come back on short rest again, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I you know, is that kind of how you see it, or are you more into the Dodgers pitching staff than I am, especially the bullpen, which I think has been kind of disappointing?
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you say it's more so Tampa's pitching that brought them here over than their pitching?
Well, you know, pitching and defense, because both teams play really good defense.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the biggest factors might be the fact that you're going to get robbed in the outfield,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's always possible. You know, you never know, you know, when Mookie Betts is going to steal another one, or, you know, Bellinger can do it, and, you know, Kevin Kiermaier is a Gold Glove winner. So, you know. It's always a possibility that you're going to think you have, don't think you got something that you don't. So. But, yeah, you know, like, you know, and hopefully, you know, like, I'm just kind of rooting for a good series. You know, I mean, obviously, if I had to pick, I would probably be like everybody else and take the Dodgers. But, you know, hopefully we get some really good games. And, I would, you know, like, again, like you went with seven. I probably would go with six as the number of games. I think it wraps up a little early. What I haven't seen is anybody predict a sweep. Because there's always that one or two people out there who, you know, again, are the smartest guys in the room. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, they'll sweep them. It'll be a sweep for the Dodgers or a sweep for the Rays. You know, are you surprised we haven't kind of heard from that guy or girl or whoever's out there throwing it out?
No, I think people are just trying to be realistic.
Since when are sports writers realistic? Where'd you come up with that? Are you drinking on the podcast again? No, I thought we talked about that. So.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it a possibility? They want to be impartial. They're trying to actually be impartial because, you know, as much as they've watched like I have, and I'll admit it, you know, I was rooting for this team since 2013. To win a World Series, and it's been awfully damn close, like, every single year. So hopefully this is the closest we have to get and get a little bit of redemption on a shortened season.
Yeah, so... yeah, you know, that, and that's kind of the odd thing, right, is if the Dodgers actually get the World Series for, the first time, or, you know, the first time in, well, how long that we thought they deserved it, it's going to be a shortened, goofy kind of season when they get it. So, you know. But, you know, and again, you know, like we talked about, I mean, a win's a win, right?
Yeah. Well, and you think about it, there is no better team. And I said it before when I thought it could quite possibly be the Yankees versus the Dodgers. And I still believe that because if you think about it, while this was a shortened season, you know, the Dodgers have been to the World Series 3 out of the last 4 years. You know, and two of them, they quite possibly could have, they could be having, you know, this could be the third run. I forgot which 2 years, so it must have been whatever, it doesn't matter. But, you know what I mean, this could be their third World Series right here. So the fact that they didn't get it twice because of cheating allegations, not for them, but against, you know, with the team that won, and the amount of work that this team has put in, you know, it's not like they had to go out and sign, you know, get Mookie Betts to be on their team to win a World Series. They've already proven that they have what it took before that. So, you know, this is a hardworking team that deserves it.
Yeah, I'm impartial. Even if they would have played 162 games, it's not like the Dodgers wouldn't have been the pick. You know, I mean, even, you know, back in spring training when everybody was talking, the Dodgers were, you know, they were the team. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's their year, they're going to do it. So, it's no real surprise they're here. You know, I mean, obviously it's a little bit of a surprise the Rays are here because it's supposed to be the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, the Rays have always, you can kind of feel for them because they've always been in the mix for a while there. You know, they're the ones who really kind of helped force that game 163, always kind of coming out of nowhere. And then when all hope was seemingly to be lost, when they lost their ingenious manager, Joe Maddon, they still survived. So, I mean, there's a little bit that can go in with these guys, but I don't know. I think you get more meaning out of it if the Dodgers win. That'll be sad if they don't.
Yeah, well, you'll get a kick out of this just kind of off the subject. Right before we started the podcast, I was going through my football teams, my fantasy football teams, just to see what was kind of out there and just kind of checking on everything. And I shipped off a trade request to a guy. Literally, he already rejected it. I was like, wow, that may have been the fastest rejection I've ever gotten. It didn't take him long at all to shoot down my trade. And I thought it was a pretty good trade, but I guess not. So,
what were you offering?
I offered him A.J. Green for Hayden Hurst because he was short on wide receivers and he was carrying two tight ends, and I need a tight end upgrade. So Hurst would have been an upgrade over what I had. And, you know, like I said, he needs a wide receiver, but no, didn't want anything to do with my my trade. So I will move on and start looking for other candidates there to see if they will deal with me.
Yeah, and now that we've wrapped up week 6, you know, my biggest regret was John Brown from the Bills, who scored absolutely 0 points the other day. Thank you for doing nothing against KC. But that was the Snake League, which I was just doing horrible, lost Garoppolo. I had Tyrod Taylor, you know, who'd I end up picking up? Some other guy. Or no, I still don't have another quarterback. I'm still looking. Or I have Driscoll from Denver, but I don't believe he plays. I need someone for the bye week. But, I mean, I had fire defense. I had guys, you know, scoring, you know, 20-plus points together. Great with kicking, you know, overall. Everyone helped me put this win on top of the fact that I had team number 20 in the standings. thank you for that win. It knocked me back into fourth place at 4-2. So that one was pretty exciting. And then The auction league, I won again, Big Jack, barely by 159.52 to 152.27, all because last night Arizona's running game showed up and Kenyon Drake, you know, he rushed. He put up 27 points for him. Thankfully, it was just him because this guy I was going up against had Drake and Edmonds. And Edmonds only, what was that, one, two carries? Or he rushed five times, you know, so he didn't really get any points. Those were the only two guys going, and I could have lost it if, you know, they would have scored any more points. So I remain at the top of the hill at 6-0. This is the craziest season for me ever, Big Jack. I've been 0-6. I don't think I've ever been 6-0.
Yeah, I ended up splitting. I'm 5-1 in the auction league, and I'm now 3-3 in the snake league. I just had a terrible week. This is the team with the injuries, and it's just killing me. I've got to get some guys back because I'm. You know, if I have any chance of making anything, I've got to get some guys back because I am just struggling. I actually lost to a team who had two. He didn't even change his defense. Seattle was on a bye, so he got a zero, and he had two guys score zero, and I still lost to him. That's just how much struggling my team is doing right now. I'm just having a difficult time even fielding a damn team. So, I need some guys to get back and just hopefully they play better when I, you know, they play well when I get them back. And, like I said, I'll get Le'Veon Bell this week, so we'll see how he does. And, you know, I know McCaffrey is just a game or two away from returning, so that'll be a big plus. And, you know, and then that'll help kind of round out what I got going on, and we'll see if it works out. But, you know, like Cam Newton struggled this week, so that didn't help me. I need I need him to play better next week, or maybe I'll go with Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know. At least I have the option there. But yeah, it's been rough, and I think I play the number one team in the league. Or there are another 5-1 team, so I'm really gonna have to, I'm really gonna have to play well if I want to have a chance against this guy. So we'll see. But yeah, it looks like it's gonna be, you know, one of those years in the snake league, and otherwise it looks like it might be a solid year in the auction league. So hopefully I can. I can do something because, yeah, it looked like I'm second overall in the auction league. So what, are you first? Is that the league you're first in, or is it the snake league?
The auction league, I'm number one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm right behind you. So. So, yeah, that's good. But, yeah, like I said, I've just got to kind of – I got to get healthy in the one league, and then that other league that I got roped into, I'm actually 5-1, so I'm not complaining. That team's doing okay. We'll see how that goes. But I'll have to get lucky to catch you in the auction league this week because you're playing the 14th ranked team, but I think he's actually changing his lineup. I'm playing the 0-6 team, which is in 19th place, so I'm going to guess I'm going to get a win. So.
It's not fair, you're cheating.
So, yeah. So, yeah, well, but, yeah, like I said, I'll have to get pretty lucky to have this guy beat you. We'll see if he does adjust his lineup because he does have a couple guys off. On bye weeks for next week. So hopefully he's keeping up with what he's got going on. But again, you know, we never know. And I believe this guy's been in the league for quite a while, so hopefully he's changing. He's changing his lineup.
Yeah, I did see, you know, the last five are really bad.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are gone, but, you know, we're trying to figure out if, you know, someone snuck back in who's clever at making up, you know, team names and, you know, just doing the draft.
Well, you know, that was usually our buddy Double J. He would have a clever team name. He would do, you know, a couple rounds in the draft, and then he would, then we wouldn't see him. So.
Yeah.
Well. You know, but we'll, you know, again, we'll, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it. You know, hopefully it works out, and I, you know, I can get some guys healthy and start winning in that league. And, you know, in the other league, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. So, you know, should be. But you know, like I said, we seem to have a decent amount of guys this year actually changing their lineups, at least so far. I mean, I know we're only 6 weeks in, so there's a long way to go. But, you know, like I said, we seem to have a relatively decent amount of guys staying with it for now. I would like to see a trade here or there. I think you're the only guy who's made a trade, right? Didn't you make a running back trade in one of the leagues?
I don't even know. Probably.
Yeah.
Or,
so.
I think I did. Well, one of the guys was hurt, so I don't know if that ended up going through or not.
You know, because yeah, that's really the only that may be the only trade I've seen, or there may have been one more, but you know, like I said, I sent out a couple offers to try to get some talk going, and you know, they either get rejected, or like I said, the one I must have sent to a dead team because it just sat there, you know, and ended up getting wiped out because he wasn't doing anything. So.
I mean, I'll do a trade back with you if you want.
So, no, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to, you know, it's always nice, especially in a 20-team league, you know, where you can kind of get the action going because, you know, it's difficult to find offensive players. You know, defensive guys, it's not such a big deal because we only use, like, you know, one or two at each position. But, you know, offensively, you know, you can get strapped at a position really easily. So, I'm a little surprised that there's just not a little more, you know, a little more action kind of, you know, roller. And, you know, who knows, maybe there are offers out there. I mean, obviously we don't see all the offers, but, you know, who knows? You know, maybe somebody will go out and trade for, you know, Tua Tagovailoa now that he's going to be the Dolphins starter.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
You know, do you have him hiding on one of your benches somewhere? You're going to pull him out and start playing him?
No, I actually typed his name in as soon as I saw the update, or maybe within 20 minutes. And I don't, you know, I didn't look at the transaction when it happened, but he's already on someone's team.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think he may have been drafted in the Snake League. I don't know. You know, I don't know if he was nominated in the Auction League. I don't remember. But you know, it is kind of. You know, it's kind of an interesting move for them, you know, if you think about it. I mean, you know, they've been playing pretty well. I mean, they're in second place. They're 3-3. You know, the Bills have just lost a couple of games. The Patriots don't look like the Patriots. You know, are you, you know, so they have a shot at the playoffs. Are you surprised that they're, you know, they're going to make the change to, you know, a rookie who, you know, I mean, I know he played a little bit in garbage time last Sunday, but, you know, a little surprised that they're turning to him now when you're, you know, again, basically you're headed into the playoffs here.
Well, isn't he the prototypical best guy on the bench?
Yeah, you know, to an extent, I guess I don't know, you know, when you're winning, though, or you're at least competing, you know, that doesn't normally work unless your quarterback's been bad, and Ryan Fitzpatrick really hasn't been bad. So, you know, I mean, I get it. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's played for just about every team in the NFL. But, yeah, I don't know, you know, how this works out, or, you know, if it ends up going well for this kid. But, you know, they apparently know what they're doing, right? I mean, I know he's gonna, you know, his first start is gonna be a tough game. You know, the Rams have a really good defense. You know, after that, it's a little easier for him. He's got Cardinals, Chargers, Broncos, Jets. Do you think maybe they made the move because it's the bye week and he's got 2 weeks to adjust to everything and, you know, be the starter and kind of, you know, I don't know, I'll relax, probably a bad word, but fit in maybe a little better?
I mean, that's a big possibility. You're welcome,
you know,
Captain Obvious,
right? Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Oh. So, you know, then the other thing, you got to answer this for me because I think I've written about this for a week or two now on the blog. Why the hell haven't the Jets fired Adam Gase yet? You know, remember, we had him here in Chicago when he was supposed to be Jake. I think he was Jay Cutler's savior, and that didn't really work out. You know, he got the job in Miami. That didn't go anywhere. Now he's with the Jets. He's 0-6. The team looks like garbage, and somehow he's hung on this long. What the hell's going on there? How does he still have a job?
Because he's got a really good draft in play for next year.
Yeah, except he doesn't. I don't think he does much of the draft. I think the general manager handles that there. You know, like, you know, because obviously, you know, he was brought there to develop Sam Darnold, and that hasn't really happened. You know, so it's just kind of like, oh, great. What the hell are we doing here? You know, I mean, I get it. It's the Jets, and they're just a freaking cluster. You know what? But I'm just kind of shocked that he's managing to hang on here. You know, I know
it's kind of a good cheer,
but you've got some kind of reason, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, that's the draft was my only thing. You know, he's got an influence over it, and you know. His Mike Glennon is out there right now.
You know, I guess we'll see how much longer he hangs on, but who knows, you know, we'll see. But yeah, you know, so we're, you know, running out of time here. So just to recap, Dan has the Dodgers winning the World Series in 7 games and Clayton Kershaw is going to be his MVP. I should get some picks for Schomburg Stew. So I'll let you know who he picked tomorrow. I'll get him before the game, so it's not like he's cheating or anything. So I guess, well, Dan and I will talk about game one tomorrow. Oh, don't forget, we also have the Twitter. And hey, if you stop by and listen to us live, don't forget to do that. We'll be back. can listen to Dan